You're invited to join the Grumbleweeds and their special guest, Derek Beatty, in the Grumbleweeds Spring Special.
You see some funny things in the newspaper. There's a woman here advertising for a set of teeth.
Hey, I know how she feels.
Must be able to bite through celery.
Well, I'd be happy with a set that could bite through rice pudding.
I'm sick of sucking me food.
Just listen to this. For sale. Victorian sofa by a lady in excellent condition with carved legs and an upholstered bottom.
Look, read it for yourself, will you? I'm trying to read this book.
I didn't know you read books, Uncle Nasty.
Of course I do, you parasite. I couldn't survive listening to the garbage you set of barn pots called conversation. You whitter on about a woman wanting a set of false teeth as though it were a national issue. Why don't you get your heads into a literary masterpiece? Something that will exercise your moth-eaten, flea-ridden brains.
What's your book called, Uncle Nasty?
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
It says here that a fella in Macclesfield has grown his big toenail 7 inches long.
How does he get his shoes on?
He rolls it up and tucks it under his foot.
Crying out loud.
I had a pal who didn't cut his hair for 27 years.
What happened to him?
He walked off edge of a cliff.
What is?
Rolls it up and tucks it under his foot.
Look, you stupid, ignorant, pathetic idiot. I'm trying to learn how to win friends and influence people.
I'll have that paper when you finish with it, Uncle Rubbish.
All right, Ratface. I've just got to read this bit about the woman who bought her budgie a kilt.
Look, it's bank holiday. Why don't you just give it a rest, will you? Oh, no, this is all I need. Noddy and flipping big ears.
Here, has anybody seen our newspaper?
Yes, has anybody seen our newspaper?
Uncle Robert is going.
We searched high and low for that newspaper, haven't we, Geoffrey?
High and low we've searched.
Where is it we've searched high and?
Low.
We have. Have you seen that bit about the fellow with the toenail 7 inches long?
And what about that woman whose dog's got to wear glasses?
That's it. Just pack it in, will you? I'm sick to the back teeth of hearing about toenails, budgies in kilts, dogs who wear rotten glasses. I've never met a more moronic lot of clogheads in my entire life!
That book's not working, is it, Uncle?
Just belt up.
Okay.
Anyway, has that postman been here?
Yes, has he been?
What for?
What for? Did you hear what he just said, Geoffrey?
I did, Ernest. He said, what for?
He did.
What for, he said?
Just like that. What for?
What is it he just said?
What for?
Well, what for?
He said it again.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
What for?
Oh, you've got yourself at it now.
I just want to know, why do you want to know if the postman's just been?
We've entered this competition, haven't we, Ernie?
Yes, we have, Geoffrey.
I was sent to the beauty competition.
That's like saying cripping were innocent.
I like to see people entering competitions. It's healthy to have a competitive spirit.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Uncle Rubbish. I wasn't going to tell you this, but I've written to the BBC to go on Mastermind.
Congratulations, Will.
What are you talking about? How can this young limb? An elephant has more chance of getting on Mastermind.
Don't be silly, Uncle Nasty. You'd never get it to sit in that black chair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Wathead. So you've applied to go on Mastermind.
Yeah.
What specialist subjects have you chosen?
Easy. The same that Delhi all died 1927 to the present day.
So the woman's Nellie Allwright.
The woman who worked in the paper shop across the road.
And who the dickens knows Nellie Allwright says?
I do. Julie has one. She says it all the time. Well, I never did.
He's right, you know, she does. She's always saying that. When I told her this morning that the back fence had blown down, she said, well, I never did.
Perfect. That is a brilliant specialist subject. That's what I call a specialist subject. You're onto a dead cert winner there.
Oh, no! Mr. Grimshaw, you have 2 minutes from the days of Nellie Allwright, 1927 to the present day, and your time starts. Now, what did Nellie Allwright say when Uncle Ruby still laid a bench of blood down? Well, I never did. What did Nellie Allwright say when she found out about the vicar and his cook mistress? Well, I never did. What did Nellie Allwright say when she found water coming in through her bedroom ceiling? Well, I never did. What did Nellie Allwright say?
Well, Toby, I promise.
Just a minute, Wilfred. Don't they have questions on general knowledge as well?
Hey, Melanie's right there, Wilf. There's the general knowledge round as well.
No problem with general knowledge. No problem. Honey, I shall go to the library, really, and get a book out all about him. I'll find out when he was born, when he went into the army, the exact day he was made a general, and if he was any relation to Major Roderick.
Grimshaw.
Yes?
You are a pathetic tri-pound.
Correct.
Yes, very well. General knowledge is a subject, he said. It covers every possible area.
Ask him a general knowledge question.
Right. Where is the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
Oh, well, now. Yeah. You hit me on me 1 week subject. History.
It's common sense, Wilfred. Now, come on, old lad.
Yes?
Tell us, where is the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
Well, I haven't got it.
What a bully.
Well, where did it last?
You clogged. It's about 185 feet tall.
Oh, well, it should be easier to spot then. I mean, it can't be in my bedroom. I'll be locked in the garage.
Wilfred, I'm going to make a suggestion. In the attic, I have an encyclopedia.
Yes?
I'll get it down and I'll give it to you.
It's no good giving me an encyclopedia, Uncle Ruby.
Why not?
I can't ride one. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Wilfred.
Where's Uncle Ruby?
He's gone to shoe repairers.
What's he gone there for?
Piano lessons.
How are you getting on with your encyclopedia, Wilfred?
Oh, it's fantastic. Did you know that the Mongolian fairy lays three eggs every third Thursday at Oblivious.
Fantastic!
And did you know that if you put black pudding and a cricket ball in a bucket of creosote, after 6 months you won't be able to tell the difference?
Well, bless my soul, who'd have thought it?
And did you know?
Did you know that if you say, did you know, ever again, I'll run that rotten cricket ball every third Thursday, including leap years, right up your snivelling little nose?
Oh. I'll let you know that in my office. Oh, Ruby.
Listen, do you know...
Don't you start.
You won't believe this. The long arm of coincidence has stretched down to that new supermarket in town. I've met him.
Oh,
him.
Which him?
Him who Will's written to. I've met the man from Mastermind. Mungus Munglerson.
Call the other one.
He's in town. He's just opened the new supermarket.
That's incredible.
He's cut the ribbon across the door because he's a celebrity.
Well, let's go and see him then.
There's no need. He's coming here.
He wants his head tested.
No, no, I had a word with him. I told him you wanted to go on his show. And you know what? He's coming here to meet you.
Because I don't care a bit.
Oh, yes. What a mother. Mandy Mango Magibum, come here!
I don't think you've got his name right.
We can sort that out when he comes.
What's he like, Uncle Ruby?
Well, he's taller than what he looks on television, and his hair's a different style, and he seems to talk differently.
We must organise ourselves when he comes. Now, will he want a meal?
Not when he's been in our kitchen, he won't.
I'll get me, ma'am. Ma'am, can you come here?
I'm getting nervous already.
And what do you want? Oh, I can't talk.
Right, listen here, we've got an important and famous person coming any minute.
That's all I need. Another mouth to feed. I'll have to cut that potato up into 12 now. Oh, you'll be lucky to get a chip each.
Now, he'll be used to having a three-course meal.
He'll have to have two peas with his chip, then.
I thought we had six fish fingers left over from the weekend.
Oh, we're trying to save them to put in Friday's trifle.
Alex, he's here.
Right, listen, act normally, everybody, act normally.
That's the last thing you want to do.
Well, let him in then, Melanie, and listen, be polite.
That's all.
Come in, your royal
highness.
Pleased to meet you, Sir Mangus.
The name's Derek Beatty.
No, don't complicate it for me. I'll get it right. Follow me. Mr. Mangus Manchester.
Mr. Mangus-ersies. And what a pleasure it is to welcome you into our humble abode.
Yeah, Mr. Mangus, yeah. I'm Wilfred. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to coming on Mastermind.
Look, I'm sorry about this, but I think you've made a mistake with the name.
Oh, no, I'm Wilfred, all right.
My name.
Oh, are you Wilfred as well? Ah, well, that's a lot easier for me. Wilfred Munger is presenting the American thing, yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, yeah. I'm not Magnus Magnusson.
Who's he?
Magnus Magnusson is the quiz master on Mastermind.
Well, come on then, you tri-pound, who the heck are you?
Just a minute. I've got you. Yes. Why didn't I recognise you at first?
Who is him, Kurubish?
He does the other quiz programme.
You've got it.
Give him the money, Barney. Oh, yes. I used to love you on that.
No, look, I'm sorry, but you're wrong.
Of course he's wrong. I recognise you now. You fooled me at first, You fooled me at first, but I've got you now. I'll name that tune in three.
No, look, does the name Derek Beatty mean anything to you?
Derek Beatty. Derek Beatty. No, there's nobody of that name lives here. Why don't you try the woman at the post office?
No, listen, I'm Derek Beatty, Mr. and Mrs.
You can't be Mr. and Mrs. You're either one or the other.
By the look of him, I think he's the other.
No, Will's right. You can't be Mrs. Derek Beatty.
Look, please, try and follow me. Mr. and Mrs. is a television show which I'm reasonably well known for.
You're joking. You are joking. Not that Bill Gump television.
No, Mr. and Mrs.
Listen, pal, I've watched that. It's rubbish. 18-carat rubbish. Absolutely, 100% rubbish.
Just a minute, Uncle Nasty. Don't you be so hasty. I think I know that programme. Isn't it where that nice, genial man comes on and talks to a man and his wife and asks them all about each other?
That's the show.
It's rubbish.
Yeah, but hang on, let's get it right. One of them goes into a box, while the other one answers questions. Then they come out at box and have to get the same answers to win.
You've got it!
I've watched it hundreds of times. It's rubbish.
Well, I realise you're entitled to your opinion, but a lot of people find it very entertaining.
Yes. Well, of course, there's a lot of funny people about. But, Derek, you see, in this house, we go for more cultural programmes.
Oh, yay, right. We never miss 3-2-1.
I'm sorry, I've obviously made a mistake. I called to see you out of the kindness of my heart to give you the opportunity of taking part in my show and maybe winning yourselves thousands of pounds.
You what, Paul?
Money?
Of course. Mr. and Mrs. offer some very attractive prizes.
Oh, that Mr. and Mrs. Oh, what a fabulous show that is. Oh,
yeah. Oh, it's absolutely brilliant.
Oh, yeah, I always watch it.
Do you teeth away?
I'd love to be on. My specialist subject is the phase of 909, 1927 to the present day.
I've told you it's not Mastermind. We don't have specialist subjects.
Just money.
Yes. Look, the offer is there. Take it or leave it.
We take it. We'll bring a wheelbarrow.
Okay, be at the television studios tomorrow afternoon. And by the way, what's the name again?
Will Grimshaw.
Right, I must go. I'll see you tomorrow. And don't forget to bring Mrs. Grimshaw. Bye-bye.
Wonderful. Oh, marvellous. Fame at last.
No more money problems.
You've only one slight problem.
What's that?
You haven't got a rotten wife.
I never thought of that.
Melanie.
What can I do?
You can pretend to be Mrs. Will.
I can't do that. I won't do that. It's illegal. It's not right. And I'm not doing it.
Think of all them sets of teeth you can buy with a winning.
Shall we set off now?
Here we are. This is the audience entrance.
Well, which studio do we go into?
That's that commissioner. Oi, you!
Excuse me. This is Sid Squeak, the senior supervisor of the security staff at your service. And, of course, my assistant, Mr. Stanley Bubble.
How do you do, you say?
Which studio do we go into, Paul?
Which show do you want to see? There's singing and dancing shows in Studio 7. We have serious music in Studio 6. And Mr. and Mrs. Oh. So if you show me your ticket, I'll see you to your seat.
Well, you see, we haven't got any tickets. It just said like to come.
No tickets? No seat in any studio. Isn't that right? Stanley.
Now, listen here, Paul. If you don't take us into that Mr. and Mrs. studio, I'll pull your peaked cap over your eyes, then I'll pick you up, and then I'll throw you head first down that rotten lift, yeah.
Why didn't you say so in the first place? This way, please.
Isn't this exciting? I've never been in a television studio before. I think they're going to start.
You're right. That man's waving his arms about for us to start clapping.
Cross your fingers, everybody.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a bank holiday special edition of Mr. and Mrs. And as usual, we're here to discover just how much or how little our married couples know about each other. And we've got some very interesting and unusual couples for you today. So let's first welcome Debbie Ann Cindy Lulu with the first couple. Welcome, both of you, to Mr. and Mrs. And your name is,
Wolf.
I mean your surname.
That's not Grimshaw.
Are you hyphenated?
Only against German measles.
Let me turn to your lovely wife. Are you nervous?
No, I'm Melody.
What a lovely smile.
Yes, I've looked after me gums.
Well, it's lovely to see you, Melody. Would you please tell our audience how long you've been married?
Oh, it seems like only 5 minutes ago.
Well, I suppose that's what true love is all about. Can I ask you a question, Wilf?
Well, yes. But if it's about the leaning tower of Pisa,
No, Wilf, what I mean is, when did you first think of saying those lovely words, will you marry me?
It will not, wife, I have to marry.
No, when did you propose to Melanie?
It just happened.
And that's how it should be.
Yes.
Now, Melanie, I want you to go into that soundproof box over there.
I'm not going.
There's nothing to worry about.
No, I'm not going in that box on my own, no.
Oh, I don't worry, Melanie. I'll come in with you.
No, Will. Wilfred, you've got to stay here with me.
No, don't let him put me in that box, Wilfred. Don't let him put me in that box.
It's part of the game, Melanie. You've got to go in the box.
No, I don't want to go in that box.
Look, Debbie and Cindy Lulu will go with you and hold your hand.
Can I go instead of Melanie?
Now, off you go, Melanie.
Oh, no.
She should be all right in there. There should be just about enough air for 5 minutes. Right, Wilfred. You know the rules, don't you?
Yeah, of course I do. You throw a six to start, and if you can't win, you throw a 200 pounds.
No, 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 no. That's not right. Let's get on with the first question.
Pass.
I haven't asked it yet.
Good question.
Right, Wilf, are you ready for this? Here
ready
we go.
For this. Ready for this.
Here we go.
Here we go.
In the morning, Wilf.
Yes.
When you get dressed, do you put your left sock on first, your right sock on first, or no socks at all?
I definitely put on my right sock on first.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere.
On Monday.
Pardon?
Yeah, well, on Tuesday, it's the left sock first. On Saturdays, I might not bother, depending on the weather. When it's cold, I sometimes wear two socks under one sock. And I'm glad you didn't ask me this question last Thursday.
Why is that? Yes, well, I'd better try another question.
Okay.
Do you prefer your eggs in the morning to be boiled, scrambled, or fried?
Ah, well, this is a trick question, isn't it? I mean, it depends if the duck eggs.
Right, if it makes it easier, let's say they're duck eggs.
Well, that's no good.
Why?
I don't eat them.
Right. Okay, fine. We'll make them hen's eggs.
Right. Okay, fine. I would say boil.
Good.
But only when I put my right sock on first. If I put my left sock on first, I then fry. And if I put two socks on one foot, I then scramble. Unless I put them on the wrong foot. And then I have conflict.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
But in all the years I've presented this show, I have never met a contestant quite like you. Right. Question three.
Hey.
When your wife goes to bed, does she wear pajamas, a nightdress, or nothing at all?
I'm on now. Go and ask her.
Oh, come back here, you fathead. Stay here. Oh, it's no good. It's no good. I can't carry on. You're an imbecile.
Thank you.
I have never lost my temper with a contestant, but you are an exception.
Does that mean I've won the jackpot?
It means there's only one way out of this horrendous situation.
What?
Wilf Gasmask Grimshaw. Me. You have 2 minutes to answer questions on the sayings of Nellie O'Royd, 1927 to the present day, starting now.
Hey.
What did Nellie O'Royd say when her walking stick broke?
Well, I never did.
Correct. What did Nellie O'Royd say when her hat blew off?
Well, I never did.
Correct. What did Nellie O'Royd say? May I apologise for the last 30 minutes, but you've been listening to the Grumbleweeds Spring Bank Holiday Special, starring the Grumbleweeds, Albert, Carl, Graham, Morris and Robin, and the Grumbleweeds Spring Bank Holiday Special was written and produced in Manchester by Mike Craig, and I wish I'd never agreed to take part in it.
What a creep.